sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And, of course, the whole point of the show is to get happier and sexier, and I trust that's what you're doing. I have no way of knowing except in the fan mail you send, and some of you do send it. I'd love more, of course, but I just want to know that out there your life is getting much sexier, and as a result, it's getting much happier, or vice versa. Today we're going to talk about what happens when you come into your sexual power late in life. Like, what would that mean? Many of you, I imagine, out there, I know that my listenership is something like 60% female. So many of you, I imagine, listen to this and possibly vicariously wonder about yourself. Could you possibly do the things or experience the things that we talk about on this show? The show's not vanilla, you know that, but the show's also not so way out there that this isn't within the normal range. Many of you could experience what it is that we talk about on this show. So today I'm going to be talking to a person who came into her sexual power a little bit later in life, and we'll see what that might mean for you. My guest today is Lady Cheeky L. And she is a writer, a speaker, a sex-positive activist. Lady Cheeky blogs on her curated sensual images site, which is, by the way, an amazing site. We'll talk about that a little bit, which is www.ladycheeky.com, and her erotica and sex blog, smutforsmarties.com. Her writing's been featured in a multitude of online publications, including The Frisky and Evolved World, and her erotica was most recently included in Rachel Kramer Bussell's The Big Book of Orgasm anthology. So welcome to the show, Lady Cheeky. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Lori. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's so great. You're kind of a celeb.
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe in my own mind, but that's...
In the world of sex, freedom, and orgasm, etc. And, you know, we all are. We're doing our part.
Yeah.
And it's a part that's greatly needed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So today you and I are going to talk a little bit about what it is to kind of come of age sexually when you're over 40 and what that means in terms of body image and sexuality and all that good stuff, especially for women. But I imagine that we'll talk about men here too, because there are a lot of men who also come into their sexual power late.
A lot of them, yes.
So what happened? What happened to you that you woke up at like 40-ish?
Well, I was in a marriage that I was apparently unhappy in. I didn't really realize. I was so cut off from my wants and needs and desires. I was just focused on the marriage and being there for my husband and being a good wife and hopefully being a mother. And I spent a lifetime of sort of helping other people. I was in the service industry. And so I sort of put myself at the back of the bus. And I think at some point my consciousness, my body, the whole gestalt of what makes up a human being sort of had enough. And I dipped into this deep depression and I couldn't get out of it. No cocktail of meds worked. And I actually, it's such a very weird story, but I was watching True Blood, the HBO series, one day, and I experienced it in sort of a visceral way. There was a sex scene between the two main characters, and what I didn't know was that they were falling in love in real life. So their chemistry was palpable. And I had this visceral reaction. I started crying. I felt the passion between them, and I recognized within me that I had never, ever felt that before. And that led to a thought process and a feeling process of wow, what does it mean to be a 40-year-old woman and have never not just experienced passion in any form, but it, sexually either, but also just not knowing who I am and also never enjoying sex. I had never had an enjoyable experience. I dreaded sex. Sex was painful for a long time. I had something called vaginismus, which doesn't allow a woman's body to be penetrated. I gotten over that, got married, but my life...
Wait a second. One second. A question about that.
Yeah.
You had that before you were married?
I had that before I was married for years. When I got married, I had only had sex 5 times. And I was in therapy, and I was able to finally get to a point where I was able to be penetrated, but I never enjoyed it. I was never with anyone that even took the time to see what I liked, that spent time with me, on me. It was always about me pleasing them, which sort of aligned with my life up to that point. So long story short, I realized I wasn't in love with my husband. I started to go online and look up True Blood. I was obsessed with it, and I went online and tweeted for the first time and got into direct message sort of sexual encounters with people and was able to flirt for the first time.
Wow.
And all through tweeting, which was interesting and very nerdy. And
I'm really impressed. I just have to say, I'm very impressed that that's the direction that you went. I mean, some people will go right to a porn site or, you know, try to.
Yeah.
Like to fulfill their fantasies that way, and you started to play out your fantasies on Twitter.
Well, I didn't know what I liked sexually, so porn really didn't have an effect on me. And so I thought, well, I want to be flirted with. I want to be romanced. I want some excitement. I want to feel what it's like to have a start of passion. And I found a man online that we tweeted back and forth, and we became very close, and we ended up having an affair. I had asked my husband to separate and then a divorce, but, you know, still he was married, and we decided to meet, and I checked him out through a private investigator, so I knew I wasn't going to be walking into a Ted Bundy situation. I couldn't believe my life. I couldn't believe where I was. I was a 40-year-old woman, this professional with her own business, and I was meeting a man on Twitter and flying out to a different state to meet him to have sex. Thank God I did it. People will judge. He's married. You're still married. It's Twitter. You don't know. He could be, you know, a mass murderer. But I was so starved because I had never felt my sexuality before. And it was begging to come out. And so
yes, I imagine it was. You were so suppressed for so long.
So suppressed for so long. And now that I knew what it was like to feel this amping up towards something that was going to be fantastic, I couldn't stop it. And when we finally got together, it was, it sounds cliche, it sounds saccharine, but it was magical because I finally enjoyed sex. And that was a catalyst for many different things in my life, for body image, for enjoying sexuality, for not judging myself with things I want to try. He happened to be very patient and very loving and very sexual and was also repressed until he had found, you know, me, and we found this simpatico. So I tried to make a long story short, but I don't think I did. But that's basically how I came into my power. And from there on, I had started the Lady Cheeky blog so that I could share images that turned me on and that I wanted to try with my lover. And
well, hold on. Before you get all into that, I want to say in terms of your story that it's a beautiful story. It's not that difficult of a story. Like, I like for people to be able to really be able to understand when they hear somebody on the show. I like for them to be able to put themselves in that person's shoes.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine anyone I know, that won't be able to put themselves in your shoes unless they were so religious and on the far right,
right.
that they wouldn't understand your desperation.
It was a desperation, and I am sort of that person that should have had a healthy sexual relationship. I was brought up very liberal, you know, borderline hippie, but no one ever talked to me about sex. And this is what happens when there is no sex education that is available, no proper sex education that's available to people. There was no Scarlatine then. Planned Parenthood was just a place to get an abortion. And that's what happens.
Well, I often say that I was brought up by wolves, but I did it very differently from you. I purposely didn't get married. I didn't want that life that they had. So I didn't get married ever.
Mm.
And I've had my sexuality all my life, and it's been pretty open and pretty free, you know, with a few dips, but I didn't really get that that was so powerful. Because still I thought of myself, I sort of bought into those things like, you know, I'm over sex.
Right.
I'm thinking about it too much. My roommates in college had to send me a note that said, you know, you could at least stay in during finals and study.
Bless your heart, you can do both.
So I feel that I finally came into my power in my own sexuality, really later in life too, definitely in my 40s, even though I've been having some pretty good sex all the way through. Right. It wasn't positioned correctly in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It still was kind of like my secret. Like I was doing something that everyone else was worried about their marriage and their families and being nice and good girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not worried about that. I was just hiding it. You know, trying to be secretive about it so that it wasn't a secret, but
right.
I was trying to not flaunt it because clearly I was weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. Trust me, I understand that.
So I love what you're talking about. Even though I wasn't in that same position, I feel that probably is one of the most desperate situations that exists and is probably flamboyant. It's everywhere. It's like weeds.
Yes, it is like weeds. And you know, a desperate is a very good way to describe it because my actions afterwards were very desperate. They were driven by desperation to soak up as much sexuality as I could in a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to actually come back to that.
Okay.
We're going to talk about how you started the website and what turned you on and how it is and my visit to your website when we come back, because it's a perfect place to pick up. I'm just really thrilled to know you and to have you talking about this on the show.
Thank you.
So we will be right back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness, and obviously my guest, Lady Cheeky, who goes by Lady Cheeky, her name is Elle as well, and she obviously found sex and happiness. And she found that they were interconnected, interestingly enough.
Who would have thunk it?
So we'll be right back. We'll be talking about what she did once she discovered herself. Please stay tuned.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty creepy.
That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should
right.
be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next sex magic course is June 27th to the 30th in Dingmans Ferry, Pennsylvania, which is at the foot of the Poconos, 2 hours outside of New York City. What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm very excited about today's show because we're talking about a very common thing. People who are married for many years and not in relationships where they're stimulated the way the body needs to be stimulated. They're not stimulated sexually or caringly or lovingly or whatever. They are in these marriages, and when they finally wake up, and this could be a man or a woman, which Lady Cheeky described in our last segment, when they finally wake up, it's like this explosion and craving and desperation and almost obsession to be free. So please tell us, Lady Cheeky, a little bit more about how you went about things. How did you decide to start a website? How did you decide to break free, go public, all of that?
Well, I started the website to share with my lover, and it was really just between us. I didn't publicize it. I told no one else about it. And it was on Tumblr, and I guess people found it. And people started looking at it, and people started tweeting about it, and I just got all of these followers through no work on my part. Right now, I have 40,000 Tumblr followers, and I didn't do anything to accrue them. So that made me feel like I'm not alone. I am speaking to people out there without even knowing it. The images that I'm posting are very derivative of pure sexuality, pure sensuality, desire, seduction, and love. And yes, there's some hardcore porn on there as well, because, you know, a little variety is the spice of life. But I was sort of drawn out by people coming to my site and asking me questions and asking my story, and also my love story with my lover was played out through that website as well, and people, so, you know, got interested in that.
So let me get this straight. You started this website on Tumblr just for you and your lover. It was like a secret website that got found out.
Yes.
But what you were doing erotically with him, mm-hmm. was you were posting things that turned you on so he would know what turned you on. I mean, go back a little bit, because I'm trying to picture this.
Yes.
And I'm getting turned on, so I'm trying to picture what you were doing.
Okay. Well, he sort of introduced me to the world of Tumblr and erotic images. And so we would send each other images that we found on the web and on Tumblr back and forth. And finally, I just decided, well, I will just start my own Tumblr and post the images that I like. And he will send me images that he likes, and he'll comment on them, and we'll discuss them, and we'll put it on our to-do list of things to do. Or he'll say, oh, I like that outfit on that girl, and I'll look for something that I wanted to wear that was similar. So it opened up a line of communication between two new lovers to find out exactly what we both liked and also to turn each other on.
Yeah, that's very, very hot.
Yeah, it was
that
hot.
Right there, that right there is a movie. That right there, you know,
yeah.
Since I had something to do with the Erotic Coast Film Festival, yeah. And right there, that is a short movie that is just beautiful.
Ideas.
Yeah.
It became a place of expression, and I think my own personal theory is why it spoke to people was that I was picking from a very authentic place, from different moods and different stages in my discovery I was posting. And I think that that's what people responded to. It wasn't just, I think that's how I'm going to masturbate to it. It's everywhere from the ramping up of sex to the first kiss, to the, you know, right in the middle where you're about to come. All different kinds of moods were, as I look back, were posted. And that's the only thing I can think of why people responded to it. Then I started posting in between the pictures some self-help quotes and literary quotes, because I figured if I have a rapt audience, I might as well, you know, throw in some literature.
Right. Stimulate them on many levels, not only one level or not only a few levels, but on every level. And also it shows that you have class and brains and intelligence. You know, I read something. I'm going to pull it up. Mm-hmm. I read something on your website. First of all, I thought your website was amazingly beautiful.
Thank you.
Really. And this, the website I'm talking about, everybody, is ladycheeky.com. I thought it was very beautiful, very tasteful, and there were some things that were really, really hot on it. You have some moving pictures, and you have some stills.
Yeah.
But I love in the beginning, I'm just going to read this. This is a quote from you. This is at the very top of your website, and I'm going to read it because I think it really speaks to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's so authentic. This is what Lady Cheeky says. I want to expose myself emotionally, sexually, and intimately without fear of reprisal, abandonment, or ridicule. I want this act to be received in a way that supports my dignity, intelligence, womanhood, and heart. I want to be not only accepted but needed, not only needed but cherished, not only cherished but respected. All of me, not just my body, not just for what I represent or provide or satisfy, but because someone wants to see who I am, really, really see all the parts of me and still wants me as a whole, wants me as is. Only then will I be able to believe the sincerity of the words seductively spoken in dark corners and breathless moments. Only then will I know that I am not invisible to another and that true connection between two people exists. Only then will I love completely, truly and honestly as I love myself. Wow. So that's, I mean, when you say, okay, I was putting up all these hot things and then I started to put in some quotes from well-established authors. Mm. So all of that, it gets handled in that quote.
That is probably me at my rawest, that quote. And it is really my mission statement for life. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's something that we all want. We all want to show our authentic selves and be vulnerable with somebody else and know, not just think, but know that we are accepted and valued. And really, at the end of the day, sex or relationships or friendships, it's all about connection and intimacy. Even a one-night stand, there is a deep intimacy that happens between two people. So my goal was to experience sexual pleasure on an intimate level each time I had sex, to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm. So these people found out, then expanded. You have, what did you say, 40,000 followers on Tumblr?
Yeah, 40,000.
So then you got to see how brilliant you are.
Well... try not to reside in that much, but I really enjoy the interaction with the people that go to my site. It's wholly fulfilling. So I found my new passion and my new calling in life. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about somebody who finds themselves in this situation. They find themselves in the very same situation that you found yourself in. What do they do?
Well, my feeling is, you know, there's two schools of thought. I realized that I was not in love with my husband. So that is a whole different story than someone who is in a marriage where they're still in love, but there's no spark left. So for someone who finds themselves in a relationship where they're no longer in love with the person and they're lacking something, from that lack, you get an idea of what you need. And mm-hmm. my feeling is that really indulge that as much as possible. Meditate on it. Think about it. Listen to your instincts, because there is a way that your psyche will find to heal you and to draw you towards happiness, to draw you towards a living a life. And if someone had told me that I would end up finding my sexuality through Twitter, I would, you know, I would have looked at them like they had six heads. So, you know, but I followed my instinct because I was so raw and I had no choice. It was the only thing I was living by. So my feeling is that when you find yourself in that position, you are in a raw state, and you just have to really find that inner beacon that is drawing you towards something. There are some people that kink really turns them on, you know, and so they might be drawn to FetLife, or they might be drawn to a certain type of porn, or they might go to the pleasure chest or a similar sex store and, you know, discover different types of vibrators. I did that. I went and I bought a bunch of different kinds of vibrators and couldn't stop masturbating, you know, because I wanted to discover, oh my goodness, can I have a vaginal orgasm? Can I, what is the G-spot?
So you got engaged fully in yourself and in the exploration of what did it mean to be turned on and what really turned you on. Seems to me you started exploring what your limits were.
Yeah. As soon as I started getting turned on, which was so foreign to me, I just wanted more of it. And so I went out and got vibrators. And my husband, at the time, he didn't know what hit him. I mean, I had no interest in having sex with him, nor did he with me. And so I would just lay in bed with him and I'd masturbate. And, you know, then I'd come, and then 10 minutes later, I'd start again. And he thought I was nuts. But I just said, look, you know, I'm doing it myself. I'm just going to do it myself. So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So people have to truly let themselves, they have to, it starts with giving yourself permission mm-hmm. to have more.
Yes.
And then, you know, that you deserve more, that it's your birthright, that our sexuality and that our skin and all those good things that go together with sensation are worth it, are deserving of it, it's natural, and that we can free ourselves.
What you said there, you said birthright, and I wholeheartedly believe that our sexuality and our sensuality is just as much a part of us as the color of our skin, the color of our eyes, how our body is shaped. It is inherent, and when you deny a part of yourself that is inherent, it atrophies. And it becomes weak, but it doesn't mean it can't be brought up and brought to be made stronger,
right,
and integrated. Integration, integrating your sexuality and your sensuality, two different things, is extremely important as a woman. I can only speak to being, you know, as a woman, but being in your sensuality doesn't mean you are overtly sexual. It just means you have a confidence in your sexuality and your sensuality that emanates from you.
Yeah.
And we can get into that more when we talk about body image.
We're going to actually take a break right this moment. And when we come back, we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about body image. Obviously, when you're 40, you aren't the same as when you're 21.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So we'll talk about that and we'll see, you know, what that all means, and then integrating the both of them. So we will be right back. I am Laurie Handlers. I'm on Sex and Happiness. And I'm interviewing Lady Cheeky today, who is a woman who found herself in her 40s, around 40, and never looked back.
Say that again.
And so we're talking about that and what that might mean for you. And if it doesn't mean anything for you, it might mean something for somebody you know. And so this is a really important show, both for men and women. This is a show where you can consider setting yourself free if you're not free already. So we'll be right back and we'll give you some more ideas about that. Stay tuned.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers. I'm talking to Lady Cheeky today. She's telling us her amazing story of finding herself about, and of being unstoppable, actually. In the last segment, she talked about how her husband thought she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have thought you were crazy too, but you didn't stop.
No, I didn't. I felt like I was going crazy, but I didn't think I was crazy. I felt I definitely was overcorrecting for a life of no enjoyable sex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were making up for lost time.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So when we left off before, we were talking about leading into body image mm-hmm. and sexuality. And speak a little bit to that, would you? Because I have no idea, really. I know my own things about that. I'm in my sixth decade, mm-hmm. and I was very nervous to go to Hedonism mm-hmm. and to be at the Eroticos Film Festival last year because I thought, well, I'm not the same person that hung around on nude beaches and, you know, my body's different. And certainly I work out, but it's just different. Mm-hmm. Things hang differently. Skin is different, different things. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I could do this. Mm-hmm. But I just got over it.
Yeah, you just do. You just suck it up and you get over it. Listen, I'm a bigger girl. I don't work out. I hate to sweat and any sort of physical exertion except for sex. And it was very scary to go into a sexual relationship with somebody new who I really thought that men really wanted a perfect body, a slender woman, someone without a belly, without cellulite. And not only that, someone who didn't look, you know, or someone who looked more perfect with a more symmetrical face. What I learned through experience is that men, and I speak about men because I'm straight. This is obviously can cross all gender lines, but I found that men are more attracted to a sense of sexuality than they are to a physical body. And
That's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
When you have embodied that and integrated it, that you can't help but come out. And it's recognizable, and it is something that people respond to. I had a similar experience where I went to a nude sort of nude spa in Palm Desert. When I agreed to it, I said to my lover at the time, oh, yes, you know, let's go. This will be fun. We always want to have sex outdoors, and we're going to be around like-minded people. It might be kind of hot. And we got in the car and we get there and I went, oh, right, I'm going to have to take off my clothes. I'm the only fat girl there. And here we are in Southern California where everyone is tanned and toned. And like you said, you just get over it. From the time I walked in the door to the time I took off my clothes, I just sucked it up and just was like, this is just who I am. This is who I am. And I am not going to let this define me. And I'm not going to let it get in the way of my fantasy. So I ended up having a really good time and was able to walk around with all of my folds and roundness and fluorescent white skin and feel sexy. And yes, I was the only fat girl there, but it was freeing and to feel sexy in an environment where I'm the only one that looks like me. And from there on, it's just about, this is just the way I look. And you can start working on yourself through whatever process or whatever discipline that you've chosen, whether it's therapy or spirituality or diet and exercise, whatever makes you feel and whatever resonates with you. But that does take time. And there is a shorter amount of time that it will take to get into your sensuality. And the two aren't mutually exclusive. So you can get a feeling of your sensuality. You can get a feeling of your sexual appetites and tastes and start to integrate that into your life, irrespective of how you feel about your body, because one has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, you know, it's true, because once one abandons oneself into the sensation of it all mm-hmm. and into the pleasure of it all and into breathing and making sound and what have you, mm-hmm. it's almost like the body expands so much, at least I've found. Mm-hmm. The body expands so much, it feels like my molecules loosen
mm-hmm.
and I don't really have that container. The container is what's bringing me to that ecstasy.
Yeah.
But I can't really feel the boundaries of that container anymore. I don't know what, if they have a fold or if there's a sagging mm-hmm. or if there's a fatness or a skinniness. it's beyond the comprehension at that point. It's just the vehicle for getting into this feeling. That's the most amazing thing in the world.
It's true. And hopefully when you are in sexual congress with somebody, hopefully you're not thinking about what you look like, because when you start to do that, you take yourself out of the moment and you enjoy it less. Men seem to have less of a problem with this than women. Men, I found, tend to be more focused on performance, but I would be with men and I would see, oh, well, he has a pot belly. He doesn't seem to care. He has a million scars. He's not perfect either. And it didn't make a difference to me because I was sexually attracted to him. I've been with men with toned bodies. I've been with overweight men. It never mattered to me. And if that's true for me, that's true for them as well, because we're all human beings when it comes to sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly being surprised. I had a lover recently who works in the porn industry. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, he is never going to be interested in me. I'm a little, you know, fat Jewish girl. And I immediately just sort of slapped my hand, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And, you know, he was interested in what I was interested in, which was a really great, connecting, fun, pleasurable sexual experience. And you just can't cut off your nose to spite your face. When people are with you, they're with you because they want to be with you. And it's not your job to second guess them.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. There's a part in one of the classes that I teach, in the very beginning bliss class that I teach, which is about the beginning of Tantra, mm-hmm. I do this funny game. It's called the game of sex, or the sex quiz. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of trick questions in it so that I can give people homework. Like, I have to trick them into thinking one thing. And I tell them it's going to be trick questions, and I'm not going to answer any questions about them. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to come up with some answer. One of the questions I ask is, how much weight can an erect penis hold?
That's a great question.
And people ask, you know, people answer, they say 2 pounds. And I go, eh.
Right.
You know, then they say 50 pounds. And I go, eh. And then they just, like, they get so stumped. And I say, the answer is an erect penis can hold the weight of its partner.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's holding it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and walking around, but it's holding the weight of the partner. It's not getting broken as a result of the weight of the partner. So whether you're gay or straight, whether you prefer skinny or bigger body people, whether no matter what your sexual preference is, I say if a man's penis gets erect and you're the object, you're the object.
Yep.
It doesn't. It's an outward display of, yes, I want that.
Yes. Absolutely. And there are people, myself included, who are sapiosexualists that get turned on by intelligence, which has nothing to do with the body. And if that is true, a whole host of other things can be true as well. And I think this has to do with how we're educated when we grow up, and the lack of education, and then just being exposed to hardcore pornography at a young age just gives you completely different ideas of what's acceptable between sexual partners.
I think that's happening a lot. I mean, even though there's more information around now for kids, there's so much access on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I still think that's this. It's askew. You know, still think that, especially with MTV and the videos that kids watch when they're really little, and it's all the music industry is now, everybody's singing about it and doing hard things, hardcore things, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
That does disturb me, even though I'm not at all conservative. I get nervous about kids at 12 giving each other blowjobs and
yes.
things.
It's not appropriate. And you know, again, I hear you about I'm not a prude and I'm not conservative at all. And I have a porn site, and I explicitly tell my friends with children, you know, you need to educate your kids before they start seeing it on their own, because that is not how people are supposed to react with each other in a sexual situation. It's like stuntmen. You know, you would never try something in a movie that a stuntman does. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
I think Charlie Glickman said learning about sex from porn is like learning how to drive from a car chase in a movie, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. What a smart thing he said.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to break there again. And when we come back, we're really going to talk about like how to integrate them. Like how to, what I'm interested to ask you about is taking yourself to the limit, whatever the limit is, like in multiple partners or, you know, or like that, like the thoughts of, oh, I've been with one person and how do I get to someone else or someone else if I wanted to, or how do I go to the depths of my sensation, taking myself there and giving myself permission each time. And then how I integrate that with really my ownership of my sensuality. How do I wear it? Mm-hmm. That's where I want to go. Okay. So just a little food for thought, hopefully getting everybody at the edge of their seat for when we come back. This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm happier and sexier as a result of today. So I hope you are too. We'll be right back with Lady Cheeky. Please stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and I don't know about you, but I get happier and happier each week with this show. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting edgier and edgier, or I'm getting more free and more open. I mean, I thought I was, but I'm in love with my guests, and I'm loving the show. So, and this guest today is no exception. If you want to find her, by the way, before she and I continue talking, you can go to ladycheeky.com. That's spelled lady, L-A-D-Y, cheeky, C-H-E-E-K-Y.com. By the way, how did you get that name?
It was completely random. I was role-playing on Twitter in a Anglophile setting, and I became a vassal to Anne Boleyn on Twitter, and so I just came up with the name Lady Cheeky. And I would have given it way more thought if I thought I was going to ever have to use it more than on Twitter.
And you can find her at something else too, Smut for Smarties, which is what you've been talking about, that you're turned on by people's minds.
Yes, very much so.
So going back to taking yourself to your own edge, it sounds like you have, in a short period of time, I don't know what your age is at this point, but it sounds in a short period of time you've made up for all the missing.
Yes.
And all the times that you were wanting and lacking and not even knowing it some of the time, but when you found out, you exploded.
Yes. Pardon? And then some. Exploded and then some.
How did you give yourself permission? I mean, were there some stopping points? I guess I want to say that. And then how did you give yourself permission? Because I know for me, there were some stopping points.
You know, I have to say there were stopping points, but not for a while. As soon as I moved out, I became very, very promiscuous. I just wanted to try everything. My motto is, how do you know what you like if you don't know what you don't like? So I sort of listened to myself and thought, well, what turns me on? Well, I know that I want to try threesome. I know that I want to have sex in front of other people. I want to have sex outdoors. I want to try spanking. I wanted to try a bunch of different things to see if it was more than just a passing fancy. And so I did. And I did some things that were not too safe. I mean, always with a condom, but you know, I went on Craigslist and I found people there, and I also found a fantastic masseuse who is a full pleasure masseuse named Hercules.
And all these people have been on my show.
Oh,
I just want you to know.
Right, Hercules has been on your show. He's fantastic.
Some of the people that you're mentioning have been on my show before. Charlie's been on my show. Right. Hercules has been on my show. So, yeah.
So, Hercules, I found on Craigslist. And I just, again, I went with my intuition. It's not something I recommend because you never know what you'll find. But Hercules was respectful and sensual. And I was able to let him massage me and get into my own brain or get out of my brain and get into my sexual brain. And it was an incredibly freeing experience.
I had a couple on that I met at Hedonism who met through Craigslist.
Mm.
And it's funny because they met just to have a hookup.
Right.
They met to have a hookup and they ended up falling in love. And that was first of all, they're amazing people. And second of all, it was one of my best shows where they, you know, where they talked about how safely they set everything up and how there was no chance of seeing each other again.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was just going to be sort of a chance encounter. And then how all of a sudden they realized they didn't want to be with anyone else.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how when you really tap into a pure part of yourself, that's what you attract. You know, I really believe in that law of attraction in that way. And when you're that open and your need is that pure, that's what you attract back. So that's what they got. How wonderful. Great story.
Yeah. So once you take yourself to those places, which you just described that you went to, you wanted to have a threesome, you wanted to do this, you wanted to do that, you went to those places, then how do you start to integrate that? I mean, obviously we can't walk down the street pouncing on everybody that we see or whatever, but how do you integrate it in so it's kind of like you embody your sexual power? It becomes your sensuality, becomes how you dress, how you look, how you, you know, you're talking about your body type, which is not, you're not going to find it in any glamour magazine.
Right.
Or, I'm sure you walk down the street and you exude a sensuality and a self-possession and all kinds of things that a prowess that one doesn't have if one doesn't know one's boundaries or limitations or the edges of beyond those boundaries, pushing them out.
Well, I would hope so. But I think that for me, it was giving myself permission to explore and having that I was proud of myself. I was proud of myself for realizing a depletion and making a commitment to replenish. That gave me some confidence. Also, as you go out in the world and you talk to more people, you realize that the message that you get from the media about what a sexual person is a lie. And everybody is living in this, and they're all too scared to go out and try things. And when you start to talk to people within maybe the sacred sexuality community, which is a great place to go, a very safe place to go when you are wanting to explore your sexuality, you discover that there are many people out there just like you, and that sexuality is, smallest part of it is physical attraction. That gives you a strong foundation in which to build a sexual identity. It's also listening to your body. It's pleasuring yourself, spending time with yourself in an indulgent way sexually, not just using a vibrator to get off, bing, bang, boom, and you're out the door, but really getting into the sensual nature of it. What turns you on sensually? It sounds cliche, but do you like candles? Do you like to watch porn? I'm a sapiosexualist, so I like to watch like a good Kenneth Branagh Shakespeare movie. But I'm wired that way. Or Game of Thrones. I'm a big nerd. So I don't know. Like, who would ever know that? And, you know, for instance, True Blood. Who would ever have thought that True Blood would have had a visceral reaction for me? But it's giving yourself the permission to explore those things that you have an interest in, that you start to build this confidence and you start to integrate it. You know, I tried a little BDSM. It wasn't for me. Yeah, I like a little spanky every once in a while, but you know, that whole world was not what turned me on. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't tried it.
Exactly. But I know exactly what you mean. I feel the same way. And the thing is, how do you know unless you try it? You try everything at least once.
Yes. Oh, yes. Or there's some things that you know you're not going to be interested in. Like I know I don't want someone to pee on my face. I know I don't want that. So
right.
I'm going to go there. There are certain things you just know.
But I found for myself that for me, where I stopped, I think, was always, you know, I would do really sensual things with myself, but I made a decision about 4 or 5 years ago that I was going to be my own best lover.
That's a great thing.
And when I gave myself permission for that, I discovered things that I didn't realize, that only other people had maybe done to me, but I didn't know why it was so exciting or what it was about that. And now it's so much easier for me to communicate, I want this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I really want to, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I want this. I can speak about that. I can talk about that because I know something about that.
Exactly.
I'm not just at the effect of who comes in and who's going to do what and who has whatever knowledge. Like, you know, I walk a fine line because I'm also a sex educator. Uh-huh. So it's like, you know, I don't want to be teaching.
Right. Yes, of course. No, that's
so it's really, you know, please do this. This is what I want. This is what I like because I gave myself permission to go there. And I feel that you've done the same thing in what you're speaking about.
Yeah, I feel like I have. And I can't, like I said, you know, I was sort of thrown into this through the popularity of my website. And I became very vehement and passionate about the message that people seem to be taking from it. And I don't have a PhD. I don't have any letters after my name, but I can only speak from my experience. And in some ways, I think that's even more relevant because I can actually tell people, just like you can, you know, how you did it, what worked for you. As a mm-hmm. real person out in the world, people like Joan Price, who are just inspirations, who's full of energy. And I don't even know if she has a degree, and I don't care, because her story and her wisdom is so valid and resonates with every age group.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it does. And, I mean, she's talking about older people mm-hmm. fully acknowledging their bodies and fully acknowledging themselves and being as sexy as they can be.
And that's a message for all age groups. You know, growing up in sort of a hippy-dippy way, my mother used to say, you know, don't knock the Bible. Just take out all the Jesus stuff that you don't like and put in universe instead of Jesus. And eventually you get some good lessons because they're basically just fables. So, you know, whenever I would hear someone on TV, you know, I remember Terry Cole Whitaker and, you know, or even now with Joyce Meyer, I just take the word Jesus out of it and I go, oh, okay. Some people have a reaction to Jesus. So
right.
The same way it could be for sexuality. If there's something that you know that you kind of like, you're interested in, but some of the terminology or something about it doesn't just sort of turns you off, you know, take that word out and use your own word because it's all about your own rules, making yourself comfortable with it. Whatever your limits are is adhering to those limits and making it safe for yourself to explore.
Beautiful. Well, we are down to our last moments together in this encounter.
Oh, Lori. I could go on for hours with you. This is fabulous.
Yeah, really a beautiful, beautiful time we've spent together and very freeing, I think, for people, very educational and freeing for people. I'm encouraging everybody to do it. I don't. If you're in a relationship, you should do it. Mm-hmm. And if you're out of a relationship, you should do it. And if you're not ever going to have a relationship or whatever your choices are here, this is a freeing moment where you face yourself and go, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And how much longer am I willing to suppress it when that's in fact, you know, I live in this skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already a convert.
You are. I love it.
Well, let's tell people again, where do you want to direct people? We've told them your websites. How can they find this?
LadyCheeky.com and SmutForSmarties.com. And there are articles, links to articles on Evolve World about sexuality, an interview with me on the rumpus. There's an interesting essay on the frisky. There are links to all of these things for body image. And also want to tell people about CatalystCon in September in Woodland Hills, September 2013, is a great place to go if you're trying to suss out what your sexuality is and what your sensuality means to you. There's a lot of great information there. You don't have to be a sex educator to go and learn something. That's one of the things I did for myself that was a huge help.
Thank you so very much. It's been my pleasure interviewing you. I know this isn't the last time that we will connect. I know it isn't.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Everybody out there, please tune in next week when I will be interviewing a couple who runs adult vacations. That means vacations where people do different things outside of the confines of their relationship. So let's find out how these people got into it and what they have to say about it. This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-